Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. You are now locked into WKAR's current sports. I am coming to you all on a Monday, December 17th, 2018. We are now less than 10 days away from my favorite holiday of the year, Christmas, right around the corner. And as I warned you all last week, with Christmas right around the corner, I really hope that you all got a chance to get out and about, hit the malls or whatever store you had on your list, and got a chance to check off on that Christmas list of yours many different items. But I'm sure there are many of you like myself who will be doing some last-minute Christmas shopping this week, all right? But happy holidays to you all. I really hope you had a fantastic weekend as we are back at it here on this Monday. A lot to get to. And I must say, campus is a bit, you know, it's a bit quiet here at Michigan State University because, of course, students had finals all of last week. And this past weekend, we saw many students graduate and walk across that stage and earn a degree from this great university. So that means that students are now on break. And that means that my interns and fantastic PAs, Connor Mathis, Alec Rio, and Jack Kerwin, are away from the show until 2019. So I want to first give a big shout out behind the glass to Drew Henderson, who will be pinch hitting for Connor, Jack, and Alec throughout this week as we, hand clap for Drew. That's my guy, man. He'll be pinch hitting throughout the entire week prior to, of course, Christmas come next week. All right. But we got a great hour of current sports for you guys. A lot I want to get to. You know, it was a busy weekend with a ton of bowl games taking place on Saturday. Now, I know I bashed the bowl games last week here on current sports because, in my view, many of them mean nothing. All right. And to put that in perspective, what you're starting to see is a lot of big time college athletes whose team has made a bowl game. These athletes who have an NFL future and have declared for the NFL draft, they are deciding to not risk any injury and play in a bowl game because it's meaningless. And that's the format. That's the product of the college football playoff system. Now, some may call up and argue with me and say, hey, Al, well, you know, this is the final game of the year. Don't you want to end the year on a high note? It's practice for, you know, future players of tomorrow for these respective schools. I am specifically talking about those top-tier talent players in college football who have a pro future, okay? Sure. Can a game like a bowl game at the end of the year aid when it comes to guys who are fighting for position battles come next season? For sure. But in the grand scheme of things, the bowl games are all about money, and they do nothing really to help those who have a pro future, especially those who are projected to be top picks come the 2019 NFL draft, all right? With that being said, I'll give you guys a brief recap of some of the sexier games that occurred on Saturday. Also, you had both the Michigan State men's and women's basketball teams both in action yesterday as the women were on the road and picked up a thrilling victory. The MSU men were at the friendly confines of the Breslin Center and just absolutely brought it to Green Bay. All right? I'll briefly touch on your Detroit Lions. And, you know, we combed through the possibilities last week as to what had to happen in order for the Lions to make the playoffs. They had like a 2 to 4% chance, barring that the Lions would beat the Buffalo Bills. Well, as many of you know by now, the Lions did not beat the Bills. They fell by 1 point at Buffalo, and that statistically now eliminates your Honolulu Blue from playoff contention. So we'll put in perspective what this means for the Lions offseason, what this means for the Lions team as they now have just a few weeks left in the year. And Matt Patricia, got to watch what you say, man. You know, Matt Patricia, first-year head coach of the Detroit Lions, he was actually interviewed by the radio broadcast of the Lions. I believe it was Lomas Brown, who was the color commentator alongside Dan Miller. And Matt was so frustrated that he actually voiced an expletive over the air. The frustration is certainly at a boiling point right now for this team. And, you know, if you are a Detroit Lions fan, I just feel sorry for you because this franchise is one that just lets you down every single year. So we'll recap what happened on the road for the Lions at Buffalo and put in perspective what it now means for the Detroit Lions moving forward. And on the back end of the show, we will have weekend winners for you, where I'll take a broader look at the sporting world over the weekend and give you a few games, teams, and some athletes that really caught my eye. All right. And there's a slim chance, just letting you guys know, there's a slim chance that I may be able to get Aaron Harris on the show. Now, for you Michigan State men's basketball fans, that name certainly rings a bell. Aaron Harris is not too far removed as a player from Tom Izzo's program. And Aaron is now playing professionally. That's right. He is overseas playing in Finland. So doing the math, there is an 8-hour time difference or a 7-hour time difference, excuse me, when it comes to us here in Michigan and those out in Finland. So I talked to Aaron this morning, and Aaron is just wrapping up practice. He's playing professionally out there for a squad out in Finland. He just wrapped up practice, and he is right now taking the bus with a 1% battery life on his cell phone. And he is going to try very hard to join us at some point this hour, sometime after 1:30. If we don't get Aaron, don't be too bummed out, because I promise you we will try to get him on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. All right? So that may be a treat that we could bring to you on the airwaves or not. Just want to let you guys know that, give you guys a heads up, all right? But you know what's next? You guys know how we start this current sports party. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with the Michigan State men's basketball team as junior forward Nick Ward scored a career-high 28 points as the number 9 team in the nation. The Michigan State men's basketball team scored 64 points in the first half alone and cruised to a 104-83 win over Green Bay on Sunday evening at the Breslin Center. Michigan State, now winners of 9 of the last 10 games, now improves to 9-2 overall, while Green Bay falls to 6-6 overall. And Michigan State will now continue a 3-game homestand on Friday, hosting Oakland at the Breslin Center. That game will air live on the Big Ten Network at 7 p.m. But we'll have more on the performance of the Spartans yesterday. A 104-83 win, a career high from Ward. Pretty impressive stuff. But again, it's against Green Bay. Still just waiting to see how Michigan State performs against better competition, and they will certainly be put to the test in what looks to be a very, very competitive Big Ten men's basketball year. All right, and speaking of Spartan hoops, the Michigan State women's basketball team also in action yesterday. A career-high 19 points from sophomore forward Sydney Cooks lifted the Michigan State women's basketball team past a tenacious Hartford squad on the road, 74-66. This win did go to overtime. Wasn't easy, but with the win, the Spartans improved to 9-1 for the first time since the 2012-13 year when they started the year 13-1. Hartford, which has now faced three ranked teams, falls to 5-6 on the year. Cook scored 19, added six boards to lead the Spartans. Also want to give some props to redshirt junior forward Victoria Coco Gaines, earning her first double-dub of the year and third of her career with 16 points, 11 rebounds, as the Spartans scored 40 points in the paint. Also, the local product, Darren McCutcheon from East Lansing High School, who is a junior, added 14 points and six rebounds. The Spartans will now play host to Florida Atlantic on Thursday night at the Breslin Center. This is pretty cool stuff. The Michigan State baseball team is spending 5 days in the Dominican Republic. They arrived 2 days ago on the 15th, and they will be there until Thursday, December 20th. I've been to the DR one time. It was due to a wedding. My fraternity brother, Jatad Smith, was getting married. This is about like 3 years ago, and the DR is beautiful. Absolutely love it there. It does have its parts, though, but, you know, where we stayed, of course, you know, we stayed in the touristy part. So it was just beautiful. Had a great time out there. The DR, of course, is a hotbed when it comes to the sport of baseball. Now, the Spartans opened the day with their first game of the trip in the morning, taking on the Dominican Republic Air Force at Pimentel Academy Field, playing to a 5-5 tie yesterday. Michigan State jumped out to a 5-0 lead, boosted by a three-run top of the third, betting an RBI double from junior infielder Justin Antikich, an RBI single by junior outfielder Bryce Kelly, and an RBI double by senior infielder Marty Bettina. MSU added two more runs in the top of the fifth on an RBI single from junior outfielder Danny Gleaves and another RBI double by Antichits. Now, today's action includes a split squad game with part of the team taking on a team from the Dominican Republic Navy while another team taking on Tabascos. MSU will then have some time at the beach in the afternoon. I know we're all jealous right now. We're all jealous of you, Jake Boss Jr. They will hit the beach later on this afternoon before attending a Dominican Republic Winter League game later on tonight. Ah, must be nice. Enjoy that. Soak up the sun, MSU baseball. All right, the Michigan State hockey team played its final home game of the calendar on Saturday night, topping the U.S. National Team Development Program U18 team. That was a 1-0 final in an exhibition contest at Munn Ice Arena. Patrick Kortarenko broke the stalemate with the only goal of the game, scoring on the power play 4:34 into the third period. MSU outshot the U18 team 33-28 for the match, including by a margin of 15-8 in the third period. The Spartans will now return to action at the 54th annual Great Lakes Invitational, December 30th to the 31st at Little Caesars Arena. Michigan State will meet Lake Superior State on the 30th at 4 p.m. and then will face either Michigan or Michigan Tech the following day. Also, give mad props to 40 Spartan student athletes. You know, I mentioned graduations taking place over the weekend. 40 Spartan student athletes received degrees over the weekend. How about that? Taking part in commencement ceremonies on this campus this past weekend, 38 student athletes received undergrad degrees, while Chase Giankinkos and Matt Sokol received their Master's of Science degrees. Pretty cool stuff, right? Also, as I mentioned, Saturday was a busy day in the world of college football, as there were numerous college football bowl games taking place. A few of note: Fresno State topped Arizona State in the Mitsubishi Motors Las Vegas Bowl. That was a 31-20 final. The weather looked beautiful out there as well, out in Vegas. Also, the AutoNation Cure Bowl was won by Tulane over Louisiana, a 41-24 final there. In the New Mexico Bowl, presented by Progressive, Utah State, a team that pushed Michigan State to the brink in the season opener this past year, Utah State beat North Texas 52-13. In the Raycom Media Camellia Bowl, we previewed that a bit last week, as Eastern Michigan would eventually fall to Georgia Southern in a nail-biter. That was a 23-21 final, with the Eagles coming out on the short end of the stick there, in a game in which two teams that live in infamy in Michigan sports history and Michigan State sports history, Middle Tennessee State fell to Appalachian State 45-13 in the RL Carriers New Orleans Bowl. All right. There are many bowl games that will continue. On Wednesday, you got the DXL Frisco Bowl, San Diego State and Ohio. On Thursday, you have Marshall in South Florida in the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl. I kid you not, I cannot make some of these names up, folks. These are real legit names for bowl games. Also, Western Michigan will be in action on Wednesday, as they will take on BYU at 4 p.m. in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. All right, and Spartan fans, as you know, your Michigan State Spartans won't play until New Year's Eve, when they take on Oregon in the Red Box Bowl, a 3 p.m. kickoff out in Santa Clara, California. All right, so just a few bowl games of note. I'll have more on the college bowl slate later on. Also, your Detroit Lions did fall to the Buffalo Bills, as I mentioned, 14-13. The final on the road yesterday. The Lions fell to 5-9 and will now miss the playoffs for a second consecutive season, while also guaranteeing a losing record for the first time since a 7-9 finish 3 years ago, back in 2015. The Lions will now play host to the Minnesota Vikings come this Sunday. And also want to let you guys know that the Milwaukee Bucks and the Detroit Pistons will duke it out at Little Caesars Arena tonight. The Bucks have been in decent shape with 4 wins in their last 6 games and will be aiming to stay hot after taking down the Cleveland Cavaliers in a 114-102 road win on Friday. Meanwhile, the Red, White, and Royal Blue have fallen off the pace a bit lately, but they will be feeling pretty good after snapping a 6-game skid with a 113-104 home win over the Boston Celtics on Saturday. So again, Pistons and Bucks tonight. And looking at the line right now, the Pistons are a 3.5-point dog in that game. Tip-off scheduled for 7 p.m. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. I want to hear from you all. I'm manning this whole thing throughout the week by myself, solo dolo behind the mic. If you would like to call in and be a part of the hour, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. Also, simply go to facebook.com/WKAR News. You can check out the live stream there and comment below that video. I see a few of you already doing that. Shout out to Ben and Deborah. I'll get to your comments in just a moment. You can also join the fun by tweeting me. Tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports.
Green Bay was going to press us, and instead of doing what we did in those games, we said we're going to attack the press. We're going to try to get it out quick and go instead of set up for it. I think that served us well, but I think one of the reasons it served us well is they were walking on their knees too. Now, the only good thing about Green Bay as far as that goes, they play 12 people all the time. So those guys coming in, even though they were tired from the trip, I mean, it's not like they're just playing seven guys. So I was impressed with the running game the first half for us.
You know, my teammates, they threw the ball to me every time. And they made great passes, great plays, which allowed me to score that ball. So thanks to my teammates and, you know, thanks to my coaches for, you know, pushing me. I just try to play my best ability every time I step on the floor.
We came out a little slow, but picked it up in the middle of the first half, started running a lot better and playing better defense and rebounding. And, you know, it started the fast break, and we were executing a little better. Give them credit. They hit some tough shots, but, you know, we got to do a better job, and tomorrow we're looking forward to getting better.
All right. Happy Monday Fun Day to you all. You are locked into WKAR's Current Sports, coming to you live here on WKAR AM 870. 105.1 FM. You may be tuned in right now, courtesy of Facebook at facebook.com/WKAR News. A few of you watching the live stream there, or you may be tuned in at WKAR.org, maybe listening to the podcast version. However you are tuned in, we appreciate the love. Thank you for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your week. And happy holidays to you all. A lot to get to. You just heard the voices of Tom Izzo, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, followed by the voice of junior big man phenom Nick Ward, who had quite the performance yesterday against Green Bay. Nick Ward with a career-high 28 points. As Michigan State scored 64 points in the first half. And then after the voice of Nick Ward, we finish it up with team captain Quato, Matt McQuaid, who chipped in with 12 points in that win for Michigan State, a 104-83 victory as Tom Izzo's troops move to 9-2 on the year, undefeated at home. And shout out to those who attended the game yesterday. Specifically, you Spartan fans who sat in the lower bowl in absence of the Izzone due to, of course, the students now being absent from campus because over the weekend graduations took place and finals week was last week. So we won't see the students in the end zone until January when they return for classes. But it was still ruckus at the Breslin Center last night as you cheered your Spartans on. But that first half was certainly impressive. As Michigan State, I mean, 64 points in one half. That's not easy to do. I don't care if you're playing Green Bay or any team, for that matter. That's pretty impressive. And the way that they got to 64, because it was going to be 61, but Xavier Tillman, just before the buzzer sounded to signal halftime, kid you not, and I don't know what the inbounder was thinking for Green Bay, but he inbounds the ball. Xavier's sitting right there. He tried to find his teammate, and I use the word try very loosely here. Xavier's sitting right there. It was an easy steal for him. He goes to the left corner right in front of the Green Bay bench. Pulls up for three. Nothing but nylon. Buzzer sounds. And, you know, right next to the Green Bay bench is the tunnel for the locker room. Xavier was so smooth and cool with it. After he drained the three, there was no crazy reaction, no jumping up and down, no fist pump. He just said, all right, let me walk to the locker room now, while his teammates went crazy. it's one of the coolest plays of the young Michigan State men's basketball year. And, you know, as far as my takeaways, and again, I want to hear from you guys who were at the game. Jason, I do see you. Going to get to Jason in just a moment. Please call in like Jason just did, 517-355-WKAR. Those who watched that game or were present at that game at the Breslin Center last night, I want to know what your takeaways are. Because for me, I mean, Michigan State handled business. I mean, you're playing the Green Bay Phoenix. This is a team in which you are highly favored to demolish. And frankly, 104-83, that's the kind of score you expect against the Phoenix. They shouldn't have been competitive, and they weren't. I will say that if there is any area of concern for Michigan State right now, and this is something that I have reiterated multiple times throughout this year for Michigan State, MSU and these slow starts. Sure, you can start slow against a team like Green Bay and recover and eventually sail to a blowout victory. But come Big Ten season, Michigan State has to figure out what's going on with these slow starts because, you know, what, like 5-6 minutes in, Green Bay was still competitive. I mean, you know, at one point, it was like a one-point game. They had the lead a couple times. It was close. It was back and forth. And if Michigan State toys with some of the competition that we're seeing in the Big Ten Conference right now, cough, cough, i.e., Michigan, I'm not confident that Michigan State can dig itself out of a hole. You know, anything can happen. It's college basketball, but still, these slow starts are a bit of a concern for me. But at the end of the day, I love what I'm seeing for Nick Ward. I called out Nick Ward for underperforming earlier this year. Speaking of Vegas, right, out in Vegas at the Las Vegas Invitational against Texas, you know, where he didn't have a huge game. He was relatively absent in that game. He only had 6 points, even though Michigan State did win by 10, 78-68 the final there, but just 6 points for Nick Ward. He was 2 of 7 from the floor, virtually a non-factor. And then, you know, he followed that performance up with kind of a lackluster performance against Louisville. That's a game that Michigan State should have won. Louisville should not have beaten Michigan State on that date. That thing went to overtime, and Louisville ends up pulling out an improbable victory. But in that game, I also got on Nick Ward because he just wasn't great in key stretches going into the late stages of the second half and in the overtime. Virtually non-existent. Now, he finished with 14 points. He was 5 of 8 from the floor. But again, those points came early in that game. But since then, Nick Ward has woken up and is playing really solid basketball. And looking at him last night, if you don't have someone who can match his size and can match his intensity on the boards, he's going to give you buckets all game long. And, you know, when Nick Ward is mentally in tune with the game and you pair that with how well-conditioned he is this year, I mean, Nick Ward looks great. He's in great shape. Got to admit that, right? I mean, he's slimmed up, and he's tough to guard. He's just a tough guard down low. He is a load. If you don't have a guy that can match Nick Ward, it is going to be a long day for you. Looking at other numbers in this game, you had Cassius Winston, who had a solid game. He was 5 of 12 from the floor, 2 of 5 from deep. He finished with 16 points. You had Josh Langford, who was 6 of 13 from the floor, 13 points for him. I mentioned Matt McQuaid, who had 12 in that game. Good to see Matt back in action right after that thigh bruise. But he shot 50% from the floor, 5 of 10. That's pretty impressive. And, you know, when you talk about the bench, how about Gabe Brown? Gabe Brown looked good. He was 3 of 4 from deep as well, including one silky smooth three-pointer from the right wing that had me really looking closely at his game. But, you know, Gabe Brown came off the bench and gave Michigan State 11 points, 4 of 5 from the floor, only missed one bucket. And then how about Foster Lawyer? I know, Spartan fans, you have been very critical of Foster. I feel like I've had Foster's back because he is so young. He's still adjusting to the college game. You know, he had such a prolific high school career. I feel like many people, you know, looked at Foster and said, okay, he's going to come in and immediately off the bat be the guy to back up Cassius. And he struggled a bit. You know, we've seen at times kind of the lights are just a little bit too bright for Foster. But Foster was solid and played pretty good in key moments, and especially defensively for me, because that's what I've really got on Foster, you know, and I've gotten on Cassius throughout his career as well, because Cassius isn't the best defender. He's getting better, but I've been very critical of Cassius throughout his MSU career as well. But, you know, Foster, not a guy who's known for his defense. He played some defense yesterday, you know, and he's shifting his feet. He seems to be improving in that area, but 10 points for him.
including 5 of 5 from the free throw line, 2 of 4 from the floor. Pretty impressive stuff, and that's what you want, because think about Cassius. If there's one thing I worry about with Cassius being, you know, because we all know when Cassius is playing well, it usually leads to a Michigan State victory, all right? But if you don't have a guard who can come in and relieve Cassius from the crazy minutes that he has been playing this year, I worry about the wear and tear on those tires. And I worry that at some point, Cassius, I mean, we're not even into the thick of things with Big Ten play yet, right? We haven't even scratched the surface of this crazy, 20-game Big Ten year. So, I worry about the wear and tear of Cassius Winston. Who can give him some rest? And what we saw from Foster was pretty encouraging, I'll just say that. Bottom line, though, my takeaway from this is that Michigan State did what they were supposed to do. 104-83, that's the kind of score that you want to see against inferior competition. And we'll see if they can ride that momentum into another game in which they should win pretty easily, even though Greg Campy and the Oakland Golden Grizzlies do not make it easy against Tom Izzo. Don't sleep on Greg Campy. You got to come focused and got to come correct against the Golden Grizzlies. This is still a game that Michigan State should win by double digits. So we'll see. 517-355-WKAR. I want to go to our phone lines right now. He's been waiting oh so patiently. Line one, we've got Jason from Lansing who wants to talk about Michigan State men's basketball last night. Jason, what's up, my man? Happy holidays.
Hey, happy holidays, brother. Well, watching the game last night, it was really cool, actually, to see all the freshmen come out there with literally, about 7 minutes left in the game.
Right.
We just kind of let all the young guys in. The only one really didn't see much of was Kithier, but to see Bingham Jr. out there, he got a block. Brown was out there, hit three beautiful three pointers. You know, two of them pretty much in the identical same spot.
He's got a really nice looking jump shot, doesn't he, Jason?
Yeah, He does. You know, and I was even looking at Aaron Henry's. Aaron's was looking pretty good too. So
right, that's the thing about we talk about this freshman class for Michigan State. Aaron has really, been the player that we always peg, right? Because Aaron has come in and he's fearless. He'll attack the rim. He's got some grit to him. He is crazy athletic. He is going to be fun to watch, to see especially how his game evolves, not only this year, but throughout his MSU career. But Gabe Brown was very encouraging last night, Jason. I really like that jump shot of his.
Gabe looked like, I would almost kind of say a poor man's version of Day-Day. You know, he was able to step out there and get the shots when he had the look, and he took it.
Right, right.
And he made them.
Exactly,
so,
right.
Four or five, you can't argue with the guy going out there and getting 11 points. You know, that's his career high so far for us. But
right, you're right, exactly.
But the other thing is, it's like I spoke to you last week about how, not a lot of people were given X-Man a lot of talk. Then he goes up, he steals that ball at the end of the half, drops the tray, and does a LeBron moment and just walks off. But I tell you what, I love the way that Tillman's playing. Mm-hmm. Tillman losing the weight he did, I would not be surprised if we see him in the next year, this year, next year, see him stepping up and being a leader, a straight up leader on the floor like Day-Day was. Because he has that basketball IQ to do so.
And he's got the maturity. That's one thing about X-Man. Looking at Tillman, and you look at, not just what he does in the scoring column, because, he only had 6 points last night. But Jason, when you look at, three blocks, you look at three steals, also
and that's like,
two assists.
That's like I was talking to you last year, about Jaren Jackson.
Right.
Jackson was that freshman, highly touted, come in, look good. Well, I went to, I don't remember who the preseason game was, Houston State or some no-name team, mm-hmm. That we play. And Jackson actually had 9 blocks in the game.
Right.
Well,
right.
if it was a regular season game, he would have broke Paul Davis's record. But, it wasn't a regular season game, so it didn't matter. But look what Jaren's done. Jaren's off on the NBA now, coming off the bench, having a good time. But, Tom definitely has worked with these guys, along with Dwayne and Dane, worked with these guys, And I don't think we're going to have a problem come tournament time. I think we're going to be okay. I think we're gonna be pretty good here throughout the when we get back into the Big Ten season. I think we might have a couple of big ones against big one against Purdue, you know, definitely big ones against Michigan. But I think we'll be okay going through the season here. Just can't wait to see what the rest of it is, and can't wait to see what happens against Greg Campy and the guys down in Oakland.
So. And again, like Jason, like I said, if there's one thing that worries me, it's just the slow starts.
Yeah,
I don't know
exactly
what it is.
Well, yeah, and
I don't know if they need to bring in a motivational. Maybe they need to call up Eric Thomas, you know, and have ET come in and give them a rousing speech or something. But I don't know what it is about these slow starts. But Michigan State constantly digging themselves, you know, these holes or you know, going toe for toe at least to start off against inferior competition.
Well, maybe,
that's not going to fly in Big Ten play.
Maybe I can get a hold of Tom's office and go in and give my. My little get-up speech that I've given to him a few times before, after doing Operation Hardwood with Coach, you know, maybe I should give him a call and maybe have him bring me in there to give him a pickup speech before a game and get
Please
him
do. Any whatever so, works, Jason. Whatever
all
works,
right, brother,
man.
Hey, have a great one. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, you got
Easy.
It. My man, Jason. All right, if you want to call in and be a part of this hour of current sports on this Monday, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-WKAR. 9527. Reaching out to Aaron is kind of iffy right now. You know, I'm waiting on a text back to see if we get him again. If not, if we don't get Aaron Harris on today's current sports, we will certainly have him on at another time this week. Okay. But we still got a lot to get to. That's just Michigan State men's basketball. Again, not any huge takeaways when Michigan State plays Green Bay. What I want to do is talk about your Detroit Lions. I know this segment may hurt. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll dive into the loss that the Honolulu Blue had on the road in Buffalo, and we'll put in perspective what it now means for the Lions moving forward. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Oh, happy holidays to you all on this December 17th, 2018. Christmas right around the corner. It is coming so fast, isn't it? I mean, less than 10 days away? Oh, boy, I love Christmas, though. I am a sucker around this time of the year. I get real soft like a teddy bear, man. And you know, it's a great time just to be around family and friends. I am a big Christmas music guy. You know, I went and visited my family over the weekend in Detroit. And on Saturday, the whole drive, I just turned on a Christmas radio station and listened to it the entire time. Yeah, I'm one of those guys. All right. I love this time of the year. And I hope you do, too. You know, it's a joyous time of the year. And I really hope that you guys are having a great holiday season with you and yours. Many of you weighing in. We just heard from Jason, courtesy of our phone line. Many of you weighing in at facebook.com/WKAR news right now. And a few of you tweeting me as well at Al Martin WKAR, or you can tweet the show at WKAR_sports. You know what? I put out on my Twitter last night because I wanted to get some early reaction from you guys concerning your Detroit Lions. And I put on my Twitter late last night in preparation for this conversation today. With the 14-13 loss to the Buffalo Bills, the Detroit Lions have now officially been eliminated from postseason contention. Playoffs are no more for your Lions. Detroit, 5-9 on the season, guaranteed now to have its first losing record in 3 years since 2015. And I just simply asked, you know, what are your thoughts on the disappointing first year of Matt Patricia? Because this was supposed to be the guy that was going to come in and bring the Detroit Lions franchise to that next level. You know, coming from the pedigree of arguably, the greatest NFL coach to ever do it in Bill Belichick. Now, many of you will probably say, hey, Al, don't forget about Vince Lombardi. That's why I said arguably, okay? But when you're a coordinator working day in and day out next to a football mind like Bill Belichick, you would think that, okay, if you come from that coaching tree, it's a pretty good chance you're going to have success wherever you go. But to be honest with you, when you look at the entire coaching tree of Bill Belichick, I don't know what it is, but Bill's assistants have struggled. Those who have gone on to coach, you know, become the head coach at other places, many of them have struggled. Most of them have struggled. But that's the question I wanted to ask. I mean, what are your thoughts on the Detroit Lions? And just to read a few tweets here, this one comes from @Twan_Wine. This was to be expected, and he exceeded my expectations because I said the Lions would be 4-12, and they got one more than I thought. So I will celebrate. so that's one perspective. Also, @JustinBFromer, Justin says, quote, he was hampered by an inept quarterback and offensive coordinator. And you're hearing that perspective as well, because Matthew Stafford, he has not played well this year. And I think that Matthew Stafford's morale was just, you know, his heart was just taken out of his chest earlier this year. I think midway through the season, where it just looked like, man, he was just so frustrated with what was going on with the offense and what was going on with this team that, I don't know. I just don't see that same look on Matthew Stafford's face anymore. He looks like he just doesn't even want to be out there on the football field anymore. So I hear you that on Justin. I certainly hear that point. Also @Leonard_Solano says on Twitter, we could be in line for the number two pick if we didn't go all out last week and win. And that's true. But with the loss for the Lions, I see that the Lions now have bumped up from number 10 to at least number 7 in the upcoming spring's NFL draft in 2019. So a few perspectives there. And then some of you, I thought we were cool. I thought some of my listeners, you guys kill me. But I knew it was coming because I give you guys crap all the time when it comes to being Detroit Lions fans, those who root for the Honolulu Blue every single Sunday, and I just don't get it. Heck, I was the only one last week. When we had Connor and Alec engineering the show one day, you know, I said the Lions were going to lose to the Bills. And Connor and Alec are saying, no, the Bills are, you think the Lions are bad? The Buffalo Bills are even worse, Al. You think the Lions find ways to lose? The Buffalo Bills, they could write a book. And I'm like, come on, man. It's the Detroit Lions. What are you guys talking about? So they're lucky. They're lucky they're on vacation right now, even though I'm calling them out live or on the air, because I'm curious to see how they would defend themselves on this Monday edition of Current Sports. But, you know, some of you listeners out there, like my homie Ben, I thought we were friends, man. You got to really go here. Ben comments on our Facebook page and says, yeah, Al, okay, enough about the Lions. Let's talk about how your Dallas Cowboys laid a zero yesterday. So, see that? We're just going back and forth like children right now, aren't we, Ben? But, yeah, that's true. It was, you know, even our very own Scott Paul, he came in before the show and said, Al, what's up with your Cowboys? And, my Cowboys got shut out. That was embarrassing. You would not have wanted to be around me yesterday when I was watching my Cowboys put up a donut against Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts on the road. Ben says, Al, your Cowboys looked pathetic. Yeah, they did, Ben. But at least we still got a shout out to playoffs. Even with that being said, even with my Cowboys not going out there and putting up 1 point on Sunday, my Cowboys still have a great shot at making the playoffs. Lions are eliminated. So, I want to hear from you guys. If you do want to take a shot at my Dallas Cowboys, go right ahead. I'm a grown man. I can take it. But we're talking about the Lions right now. And, you know, Matt Patricia, this story shocked many. I just think this kind of puts in perspective how the Lions are, you know, have reached a boiling point here. You know, Matt Patricia dropped the F-bomb during a live radio interview yesterday. You know, the emotions of a frustrating year getting the better of Matty Patty. And during an interview, when he was being interviewed by former Detroit Lions offensive lineman Lomas Brown, who I think Lomas in his first year coming in as a color commentator alongside the great Dan Miller has done a great job. That's just a side note. But Lomas Brown, you know, was interviewing Matt Patricia. And, you know, he asked Matt Patricia, about the Lions being eliminated from playoff contention and how that changes Matt Patricia's approach in the final two games of the year. And this is what Matt Patricia said, quote, "Look, for us, it's no different. We go out, we compete, we try to win, and we try to bleep get better every week." Again, this is Matt Patricia on WJR, 760 AM. Then he went on to say, quote, "So we just got to make sure that we do a good job here of getting back to work here tomorrow." So, yeah, that's a no-no. That's an FCC violation. You cannot, you know, drop an F-bomb on live radio. I know emotions are high. Got to know better than that, Matt, especially as the head coach of the football team. But, again, it just puts in perspective just how frustrating this year has been for the Lions. One guy you can't blame, as I tuned in for a bit of that game yesterday with the fam, because my family in Detroit, they still are, I don't know why, they're like you guys. They're still die-hard Detroit Lions fans, and we watched a bit of the game yesterday. Kenny Golladay, I want to give Kenny some credit, because with everything that's gone wrong this year for the Lions, you can't blame it on that young stud. I mean, Kenny Golladay has been a pleasant surprise for the Detroit Lions offense. And he had 7 catches yesterday for 146 yards. He caught 7 of the 8 passes that were targeted to him from the hand of Matthew Stafford for 146 yards. He is a fantasy football player's dream. It's amazing. The run game for the Lions, I mean, they did crack the century mark collectively, as we saw Theo Riddick have 8 carries for 47 yards. Zach Zinner, 10 carries for 45 yards. Again, the Lions still, though, missing their guy, when it comes to the backfield. For the Lions, moving forward now, I just don't know. And the guy in the backfield, of course, being Kerryon Johnson. For the Lions moving forward now, you know, I don't know how you put the wheels back on the track in the offseason, because I just feel like Matt Patricia set a tone before the year even started that rubbed the players wrong. They got off to a bad footing. They really did, because Matt Patricia tried to come in and he said he wanted to change the culture, this culture. And many players were complaining about how they were overworked. They didn't like the new rules, and they were boisterous and letting the media know this. You know, I've always adhered to the old saying that you don't air your dirty laundry to the public. You know, you keep stuff like that in-house. And the fact that it got out kind of put in perspective just how angry Detroit Lions players were about this new system that Matt Patricia was trying to instill. It got off to a bad start. And I feel like there were some emotional angst between Matt Patricia and some of the players on this team. But then I looked at the game on national TV where the Lions, and my goodness, I still can't believe this one looking back on this year, the Lions beating Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. And I'll probably revisit the Patriots for our weekend winner segment in a minute. But, and, you know, Matt Patricia beating his former boss, his former employer in the Patriots, and you look at that reaction. Yeah, look at that reaction, guys. I mean, that reaction when Matt Patricia came into the locker room and his players crowded him and they gave him a congratulations. That looked like a really cool team bonding moment. And we said here on the air, okay, well, I guess all those reports about there being some kind of, disappointment with the new rules and some kind of drama or beef between the players and Matt Patricia, that's all he said, she said stuff. And that's out the window. But you just don't know. I mean, it's tough, you know, when you are the head coach of an organization like the Detroit Lions, just because I just think there are just so many problems with this team right now. And I think that the bulk of the problems when it comes to what's happening on the field, it's easy to point the finger at the quarterback, because many of you are doing that right now. Many of you are pointing the finger at Matthew Stafford and saying Matthew Stafford hasn't had a great year, and that's why the Lions are horrible this season. But no, in my opinion, one, if you're going to criticize the offense, I think it starts with Jim Bob Cooter, it was surprising to me that Matt Patricia kept him as the offensive coordinator this season. But Jim Bob Cooter, his play calling puzzles me.
That's where. Humble yourself.
Yeah, we need to. Yeah, I think Jim Bob Cooter needs to humble himself. Also, the defense for the Lions. That defense, with the exception of what Darius Slay, is not that great. The defensive line is subpar. The secondary subpar. Linebackers, don't get me started on Jared Davis. So the problems stem much deeper than Matthew Stafford. Has Matthew Stafford had a bad year? Sure. Definitely. And again, I think he's checked out mentally, if you ask me. But there are so many other problems that come before Matthew Stafford, before I start pointing the finger and putting it just on his shoulders. So I think the Lions should just tank. No need to go out there and beat the Minnesota Vikings, right? No need to go out there and beat Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers to close out the year. Right now, it's about positioning yourself in the offseason, and the more losses you can accrue in the final 2 weeks of the season, the better your draft position gets. So let's see if you can move into the top five. That's where I'm at with it. I'm sure that's where many of you are now. Ray, I see you. I want to hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll take a call from Ray, and we will also have a brief weekend winner segment for you. When we come back, we'll say goodbye to you all. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
Jolly Christmas, and when you walk down the street.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a he. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad boy.
That's great stuff. The Grinch. That's one of my favorite Christmas joints as well. How can you not love that? Shout out to Jim Carrey, too. I think it's one of the greatest Christmas movies of all time. Jim Carrey playing the Grinch. And, of course, intermixed with the Grinch, shout out to Drew Henderson behind the glass, engineer for this week's Current Sports. You heard the voice of one of our favorite callers, Ray from Indiana, saying, "Beat the bullies!" That's like his calling card whenever he calls in. And we do have Ray on line one. He's been waiting patiently as we close out the show with 5 minutes left. Ray, what's up, my man?
Hey, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Did you get my Christmas card yet?
You know what? I haven't checked my mailbox. It may be sitting in there. I'm going to head to my mailbox after the show.
Friday or Saturday's mail, so look at it. We'll talk tomorrow. Hey, another bully falling. I told you, Tommy's washed up. He's going downhill now. Billy and Jimmy, Belichick and Tommy Brady, you ought to join Jimmy Harbaugh. You guys ought to all leave for Jamaica because you can't play football anymore.
Well, what do you mean another bully's down? Do you mean Tom Brady? You talking about Tom Brady losing to the Steelers last night?
He's they're none but liars and cheaters, both them guys. I'm so happy they're losing now.
Yeah.
Last five. You're going to see it in the playoffs, my friend. I told you to watch Tommy pretty close yesterday, and I think he's going downhill a little bit. He thinks he's going to play to 45. He's not playing to 45 with that arm and legs.
Well, you know what? And I tuned in yesterday, Ray, and I watched the game, and I thought about you. And I tell you what, Tom is showing some signs of his age right now.
Right.
I'm not even going to hold you up. When I watched him very closely, especially on those last few moments, those last four passes especially, really surprised me, because Tom Brady, you know, this is a guy who, you know, is known for his accuracy and his arm strength. And I was sitting there a bit puzzled. I mean, he wasn't great. I mean, he was 25 of 36, 279 yards. He threw a pick, and he had one touchdown. That's an overall QBR.
They only got 10 points, buddy.
I know, only 10 points.
They've had that three or four games this year. I'm going to tell you, you get him off his spot, and you hit him a little bit, and he starts getting jumpy and throws the ball up.
An overall QBR of just 46.5. And you know what would surprise me also, Ray, as we come up at the close of the show here, what really got me was the Dolphins game. When Tom was a bit confused on how many timeouts his team had. Now, this is a guy in Tom Brady. This is the greatest quarterback to ever play the game.
He's not 21 anymore.
I hear you. And you know, he prides himself on always knowing the situation.
Right.
And that was like, what? I'm not knowing how many timeouts. You're Tom Brady. What's going on here? So they're starting to show some signs of some chink in the armor right now.
Here we go. Jimmy Harbaugh, he talked Jimmy Harbaugh into taking that job. And Billy and Tommy, you all need to go to Jamaica. It's almost over.
All right, Ray. Hey, call back in tomorrow, my man. Good talking with you. The Patriots. I really believe that we may. Now, again, it's the Patriots. I'm saying this now and then, watch what happens come postseason time, right? But I tell you what, looking at these last two games, I'm not too impressed with what I'm seeing from the Patriots. Now, I'll elaborate more. I'll have a broader look on the NFL on tomorrow's show, and we won't just, you know, again, bore you with Detroit Lions talk. All right. I did get a text from Aaron Harris, and he was ready with like 10 minutes left. We're going to reschedule Aaron. I'm going to try to get him on Wednesday. Tomorrow, though, we will have Trevor Darnell, who is actually working for a sports betting casino out in Las Vegas. He's making this a career. Trevor will join us on tomorrow's Current Sports to talk about sports betting and the future of sports betting here in America. And how this could be a game changer in the world of sports, all right? So you don't want to miss that chat on tomorrow's Current Sports. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. I'm Al Martin, reminding you always to be easy, people.